Welcome to Facilitating the Mission, the Shepherd Staff Mission Facilitators podcast. My name is Ed.
And my name is Jeff.
And today we're going to be talking about survey trip. That's the time where a missionary travels to spy out the land and take a look at it. Jeff, what can you remember about your trip to the Central Philippines?
Well, we were blessed because we had been praying about going to the field. And through a number of circumstances, God made it possible for me personally to take a trip to the Central Philippines and visit the city that I had heard a lot about. And I absolutely have to say that that survey trip, looking at it through the lens of, hey, God might call me to be here, was crucial when God spoke to me there on the streets of downtown Cebu and said, this is where I want you and your family to come and serve me.
Yeah, so I'm going to try to give us a definition of the survey trip so that we have something to work around. It's a trip purposely going to the potential host country to pray for, to prepare to move into, gather information for that which will be needed to enter into ministry and into life in that host country. This means a survey trip is for those that the call is confirmed or maybe, you know, mostly confirmed, and it'll probably happen on that trip. It's definitely not a short-term mission.
Yeah, and that's a good point, Ed. You know, short-term mission trips are great. A lot of the missionaries that are on the field today are the result of taking short-term mission trips, but this is a completely different animal. Those short-term mission trips don't provide the right perspective to view this place as a potential place you're going to now move to and begin living at.
Yeah, on a survey trip, the missionary has the opportunity to kind of engage life and live as if they are on the mission already. Now, here at Shepherd Staff, you know, we help churches send their own missionaries well. So Jeff's going to begin by sort of talking and addressing the survey trip expectations from the view of the home church, the ones that will send the missionary. And then I'll come in and I'll talk about the expectations and what a missionary or a potential missionary should be doing as they go on that survey trip. And then as we wrap up, we'll sort of look at it from the view of the missionary on the field. Jeff and I have been honored to serve with our families on the mission field, and we both received people coming to spy out the land or take a survey trip to come out to the mission field, and we want to look at it from that angle as well. So Jeff, in this light, you know, from the point of view of a pastor or maybe a missions pastor or a missions committee or a board of elders, but definitely from the home church sending a missionary, looking to send someone out to the field, what are some points that you think are important to consider?
Well, first of all, I think the very idea of requiring a potential missionary to take a survey trip is absolutely crucial. So for sure, they need to have this be a high priority for the potential missionary. Now, some ideas that I have, some crucial things that I've learned is, number one, if it's a married couple that's considering going, it's always best to have them go together. And part of that will be to help confirm to the leadership of the church and the other members of the church whether both of them are actually called, whether the calling is on both of them, and that's crucial. Also, from the church leadership perspective, I also want to pay attention to, can this person go on this survey trip and go in as a learner or as an observer? In other words, paying attention to the culture, paying attention to the surroundings, paying attention to those surface things that and the things below the surface that are going to be crucial for their success on the field. Can this person, in a sense, be a learner in a cross-cultural situation? Also, I think it's important that the survey trip be engaged on with the mindset of, hey, am I going to be able to raise support for what I'm doing? And having the missionary see and experience what he does on the trip, how can he translate that and get it out to that large base of people where his support may come from? Also, and this one is not to be overlooked, the whole idea that when the survey trip goes and the missionary is absorbing what's going on and he's sort of packaging it up to tell people back home, especially the leadership of the home church, it makes it possible for the home church to get behind the vision of what the missionary is going to go there to do, even though it was just a survey trip. They're buying into the vision already, so that by the time they might actually go to the field, there's an easy buy-in for the whole congregation. And finally, the ability to, you want to, as part of the survey trip, I'm looking for, can this person interact with the existing missionaries that are on the ground there, the expats that are on the ground? How are they interacting with the nationals there? Their ability to be relational in an environment that's so different and strange to them. I think those are the things that a survey trip can help the church leadership to understand about a potential missionary.
Now, Jeff, would you advise that a missions pastor or a similar leader from a church would go with the missionary or the missionary family, or would you advise more of a debriefing when they come back?
My conviction on that is if they're going to a place, their survey trip is to go to a place where there's already missionaries on the ground that they're familiar with, there's no need for the missions pastor or leader of the church to go with them. It'll be much more effective to see how they navigate on their own with just the locals there, the local guys that are working there. But if there's not going to be another team or partners there that they are already familiar with, there may be a value in a leader from the church going with that potential missionary for their survey trip.
And that may help that church be part of the sending, but also it helped the missionary be part of the vision of the church into that new field. So I like that idea as well, Jeff.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so that kind of covers it as far as, you know, at least at a surface level, from what a local church leadership should look for in the survey trip of somebody that's considering going to the field. Ed, what do you see as important points for the missionary to accomplish that they need to understand they need to accomplish as they go on their survey trip?
Well, for the missionary going on the survey trip, there's several points, and we'll never kind of exhaust this, but let me hit on a couple of them. It's really good for the missionary or the missionary family as they go to the host country to engage with and deepen relationships with the missionaries they're going to work with, or at least be in the same community with. And especially if it's going to be a team setting, that they would deepen relationships and understand those people. But I also, on another level, I really encourage the missionaries going and going on the survey trip is that they would learn from and engage missionaries outside of their tribe, whether it be a denominational setting or whether it be on their team or whatever the setting may be, that they would learn to have relationship and engage with others that are like-minded, certainly theologically and such, but also that they are not intimately working with day in and day out. And then while they're there, they need to develop their ministry vision, because, you know, as the call is coming upon them, there's a lot of excitement. It's easy for emotions to kind of take over. But while they're there on the ground, there can be a little more fleshing out of what it will be like day to day. And then also while they're on the ground there, and whether it be a family or an individual setting, they can kind of build a personal and a ministry budget. And they're going to need to begin to communicate with churches and individuals that want to get behind them and support them. And they'll have some kind of solid numbers, you know, what it costs to rent a flat, what it will cost to obtain a vehicle if that's needed, whether it be a bike or an actual car, or whether it's public transportation. They can build a budget, what groceries will be like, and these sort of things. Even on a very practical level, how will their money get to them, whether they'll use an ATM or wire transfer or whatever that may be. And often that's through the relationships with the missionaries already on the ground. They can speak with them. Now, another thing that will happen for the missionary as they go on a survey trip is they're going to gain some credibility and information to help in building communication and prayer. What this does, on just a practical level here, they'll be able to obtain some pictures and some testimonies and such of what they're going to do. And as they begin to produce newsletters and blog posts and these sort of things, they'll be able to communicate about specific things they will be doing, the things that God has called them to do. Now, there's a special situation. When a missionary is going over, a single guy or a single gal, they're pretty flexible. They need a room and they need a flat spot to sleep almost, and they're pretty happy. But now when you start talking about a couple, or particularly when you start talking about a family, there's some real practical things that can be answered, some real practical questions that can kind of be wrestled with. You know, what's the doctor situation? Is there a pediatrician that's available for the children? And it may be you're willing to go and there is no pediatrician, but you want to be able to ask that question. And so what will the schools be like? And would it be possible if there's a missionary kids school or an international school for your children to maybe take a walk around that school and talk with some of the administration and find out what matriculation will be like? Will you homeschool and what materials are available there? And so these sort of things need to be wrestled with. A single guy or a single gal may not be very concerned, but certainly a family situation, what is shopping like? What about groceries and what about clothes and those sort of things? Some people have special prescriptions that they need, and are those available in the host country? Or maybe there's special dietary issues that need to be dealt with, and can you get gluten-free or whatever the situation may be there in the host country? And so I strongly suggest that the family take that time to sort of ask those questions. And kind of related to all this, I actually really strongly suggest that a family going on this sort of tour, going to take a survey trip, that they will shop for groceries and cook a few meals. And this sounds funny, but on a couple of situations, we had people come over and you know, where they're praying and kind of considering, you know, coming into Kenya to join the work or join works near us. And they literally froze up because they weren't able to put together a salad or make pasta. They were used to buying things already completely prepared. And so we needed to kind of coach them. Hey, here's a couple really good cookbooks that you might be interested in getting a hold of. And so we strongly suggest that a family learn to do that, or at least experiment with that on the field, and maybe learn how to cook some indigenous food as well. Well, Jeff, we heard from the home church side, and we've heard from the missionary family going to see what it's like to be on the field. But what about for the missionaries that are already on the field that will be receiving, you know, potential missionaries coming on a vision tour?
Well, you know,
survey trip. We like to use the phrase survey trip.
Yeah, survey trip. Exactly. You know, I think that the missionary on the field, the communication is absolutely crucial, and one of the main things that they need to communicate to the person coming over to do the survey trip is, hey, this is what my expectations are of you while you're here, and that the person coming over to take the survey trip understands that before they commit themselves to anything, expectations need to be laid out very clearly. If not, there's guaranteed conflict. The enemies at work all the time anyway on the mission field, but especially between fellow missionaries. And it makes me kind of think about there's a concept in a great book called Cross-Cultural Communication by Duane Elmer, where he shares this principle of, you know, Christians are notorious for agreeing to do something with somebody else before they actually understand what it is that they've agreed to. And so the principle is, you know, pursue understanding before you pursue agreement. And part of that understanding is, hey, what are the expectations? What's your experience with that, Ed?
Well, I would agree. I know that the needs are so great. I mean, the Bible teaches us the laborers are few, and so we're sometimes just tempted to find a warm body. We're just tempted to, they think they're called, they must be, and we almost will do anything to get them there. But it's much better for everybody's sake, for the home church sake, certainly for the missionaries coming, and certainly for the missionaries on the field. If you have some very blunt discussions, some very frank discussions about expectations, and it's much better to depart, say, man, I love you, but it's just not going to work out, than it is to get somebody over there and have a wipeout where relationships are strained.
Yeah. Well, what are some of the specific examples of expectations that need to be clarified between the guy on the survey trip and the missionary on the ground?
I always like to ask them, how long are you committing to be here? And that allowed, you know, a little bit of planning. And by that, I mean, hey, maybe they plan to be here for a year of language acquisition and culture acquisition, and then a year of supporting the work that they're coming. And then they plan to branch out to another area and develop a whole new work. And that's completely okay, as long as there's understanding of that expectation. But if someone was coming and I thought they were going to be with us for, you know, like potentially turn the work over to or something, but 6 months into it, they're departing for another section of the country, that's going to cause some tension. And then another thing I really like to talk to people about is, hey, what's your work ethic? You know, because the 8-hour work day and the 6-day work week is a very American concept. The mission field is, but just the laborers are few. That means the few are tired and there's a lot of work to get done. And so, you know, the concept of what we think of clocking in and clocking out is just not here. And that discussion probably needs to take place with both adults, if it's a couple, not necessarily with the children, but both adults need to be involved so that the wife, unless she's the main missionary, medical situation or teacher or whatever, that she would also understand, or he would also understand, there's a great commitment being made to being on the mission field. So expectations of ours, and particularly expectation of who is submitted to who, how the new missionary couple or the new missionary individual will fit into the existing missionary team and the existing missionary atmosphere.
Exactly. And, you know, it sounds sort of, non-spiritual or non-missions-like to say, hey, it's good to have a job description. You need to clearly define roles and responsibilities, sort of a chain of command if you have a military background. All those things that we think, wow, we're so spiritual, we're going to do God's work out here on the mission field, that those things aren't important. Hey, those things are important.
You mean missionaries sometimes don't get along?
Sometimes they don't get along. That's the understatement of the day.
Yeah. But we want to. And this is a very proactive tool to have this discussion. And let me reiterate, if it comes to the point where you say, hey, this is not a fit, you leave friends, you leave loving each other, you leave supporting each other, and yet there wasn't a broken relationship. And that's much better than getting someone over there and having a wipeout from the mission field itself.
Absolutely. So what's another thing from your experience that the guy on the ground should encourage somebody on a survey trip to do?
Well, especially if it's a couple or if it's a family situation, I really like it when the family on a survey trip stays off-site, doesn't stay in a missionary house. And the reason for that is it gives them a chance in the evenings, you know, before they go to bed or before they fall asleep. It gives them an opportunity to kind of debrief each other and really, really ask and say, hey, were you fearful when we took the public transportation? You know, were you fearful about cooking this food? Or how did you feel about that shopping, you know, experience? Or do you think our kids can do this while it's still fresh, before they've got on a plane and jet lag and all that other stuff, while they're right there in the middle of it? They can have real discussions and have time in their journal, time with the Word of God, time to be on their knees to really wrestle with what they're experiencing. Now, if they're staying in the missionary's house, there's a lot of social time. There's a lot of just discussion back and forth, and they may not have that sort of still, quiet voice time that's needed for them to wrestle with what God's showing them.
Yeah, I agree. There's great value in them, in a sense, getting a taste of living somewhat independently while even they're on their survey trip.
Absolutely. Then I also like it when a couple coming over or the individual coming over experience life in the sense of let them drive. Let them drive or let them take public transportation. Realistically, it'll probably be public transportation for most missionaries. Let them know what it's like to catch a jeepney if they're in, you know, the Philippines, a matatu if they're in East Africa, I guess a taxi if they're in London.
A tuk-tuk in Thailand.
A tuk-tuk in Thailand. But let them experience that. And Lord willing, they're going to get lost and pickpocketed and all that other fun stuff and really experience what it's like and you have to wrestle with the reality of this is what life will be like.
Yeah, and I think when they have a taste of that on their survey trip, it'll be very helpful when they come back to live there to say, hey, you know what, I've done that, and I know what it's like, and I know how I need to do that in a better way. So there's incredible value in letting them figure out how to get around the city using public transportation like the people they're going to be ministering to.
Yeah, one of the things that we did is we actually set up somewhat of a day for our people, and we'd give them the route numbers to get on a matatu. That's a public transport bus or little minivan in East Africa, and they could go up to the language school, explore the language school. We gave them a place to stop for lunch, and they could learn sort of the system. And so they came back having met a few goals. They met the goal of finding the language school that they would go to. They learned how to use the public transportation. It gave them a sense of confidence that, hey, they can do this, because it's a little intimidating for someone to just get off an airplane and do these things. But yet, when we set it up for them a little bit, they're able to do it. And of course, we gave them a mobile phone for them to call if there was a true emergency.
Yeah, and there's a lot of wisdom in that. Now, we both share the same conviction on whether they should actually, quote, do ministry while they're there. But go ahead and share your thoughts first.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily have someone visiting like this to be preaching or to be teaching classes or if in a medical background, you know, seeing patients. I don't want to ignore if God opens doors that are beyond, you know, if God's clearly opening a door, let's go through those doors. But for the most part, I want them to learn about life there on the mission field, because that's the thing that they're going to do the most. Because if they can't do life on the mission field, they can't do ministry on the mission field. So they need to spend that time shadowing you, asking you questions, spending time, you know, with that missionary, kind of just learning how things work, learning how the banking works, learning where they get the car fixed, You know, those sort of practical life questions. And then those will certainly include some cultural questions and ministry questions. And even I would even suggest maybe a day or two with key national workers that are part of the ministry, that they would engage with those national workers and learn some things about them as well.
Yeah, and you know, from my perspective, I think that's a really good point, because what happens when missionaries go to the field, when they actually make that move, they think that they got to, quote, start ministry as quickly as possible to validate the support that they're getting and so forth, and they make this huge mistake of not giving proper time to, how do we actually live here? How do we learn about the culture? How do we navigate it within the language? And so if on the survey trip, the guy on the ground makes clear to this person, hey, when you move actually over here, your ministry is going to be to learn how to live here. So on this trip, I'm not going to give you any of the, quote, work or ministry that you're going to do when you actually come over here. I want to give you a taste of just living life here that will put it in the right order for when you come back to live.
Yeah, it sort of sets a trajectory to keep someone on the mission field, you know, instead of a year-long or two-year or three-year missionary, to be someone that serves for a decade or maybe longer. It helps set those things in motion to let them dig into the culture in a deeper way.
Absolutely.
Well, I hope this gives you some value of the concept of taking one of these trips. And I know that we've just touched on the idea. So feel free to contact us here at Shepherd Staff, and we'd love to flesh it out more with you or make some suggestions or give you some of the tools that we have, and we can set it up even via email or some other method. And Jeff, as we wrap up, any last points you want to bring up?
No, I just would want to encourage especially the church leaders that may be listening to this that, you know, requiring your potential missionary to take a survey trip is something you need to seriously consider, and giving them some parameters for them to go. And we've given you some clues on how to do that here today. So again, as Ed said, if you have any more questions, you can contact us, and we'd be glad to help you.
You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on the internet. Mr. Google has all of our information, of course. And we do look forward to hearing from you. And if you have questions or thoughts for future podcasts, please feel free to suggest them or to ask those questions. God bless you. We look forward to speaking with you again.